All right, 1 Peter chapter 5. We've spent some time looking at Satan in his opposition to the believer. And the Bible says in verse number 6, 1 Peter 5, verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we continue to look at the struggles that we have with Satan, and we look at the ways that he gets into our lives, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to remember these things and learn these things, that we may fend him off, that we may cause him to flee, that we may recognize the things that we do that attract him. Help us, Lord, as we study your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I mentioned to you last time that the devil goeth about. That's his business. He's walking around, going to and fro in the earth, and he's looking for those that God will allow him or God will permit him to devour. He's not interested in the drunkard. The drunkard's right where he wants him. He's not interested in the adulterer. He's not interested in the thief or the murderer. Those people are doing just exactly what the devil would have them to do. But those who have purposed in their heart to follow the Lord, live for Jesus Christ, and live a life of honor in his sight, those are the targets of the devil. And the devil cannot touch them as long as they're walking in humility, as long as they have yielded themselves and surrendered themselves to the control of the Lord. But once a man gets caught up or wrapped up in pride, self-confidence, he becomes a prey to the devil. Now, it's remarkable that God used Simon Peter to write these words. Simon Peter found out one time that if you don't live verse number 6 and humble yourself, you'll live verse number 8 and get devoured by the devil. Simon Peter found out one time, if you don't live verse 8, be sober and watch, you will fail to enjoy verses 9 and 10, the accomplishment of God being glorified through the suffering of his people. Simon Peter had a chance to go down in history as the greatest man who ever lived, other than Jesus Christ. And because he was not humble, and because he was not sober, and because he was not vigilant, he missed his chance. In fact, he writes in verse number 9, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." He could not say in us. He missed his chance. I want to show you this morning how he missed his chance, how the devil got him, how God rescued him, and what he learned from all that, that God allowed him to write about in 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at the verse again very carefully. Verse 6, "Humble yourselves." Verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant." Verse 9, "Whom resist." There are four definite commandments given in these verses. Humble yourself. Be sober. Be vigilant. Resist the devil. That's four things that God has told us to do. Notice also in verse 6, he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7, he careth for you. Verse number 10, the God of all grace will establish, strengthen, settle you. So there are some great things God will do if we'll just humbly submit ourselves to him and watch out for the devil and resist him when he shows up. Now come to Luke chapter 22. The book of Luke and chapter number 22. We're going to go back and look at the life and the experience of Simon Peter. Luke chapter 22. And there are two people in this chapter who have a desire for Simon Peter. Two people have a desire for Simon Peter. In Luke 22 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "And when the hour was come, he sat down." That's Jesus. "And the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." The desire of the Lord Jesus Christ was to fellowship with Simon Peter. The desire of the Lord Jesus Christ was to sup with Simon Peter. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." It's not just the Lord's desire to save us and take us to heaven. It's the Lord's desire to sit with us and talk with us and sup with us and fellowship with us and enjoy our company. That's his desire. He said, "I desire to eat this meal with you, to sup with you." Now look at chapter 22 and verse number 31. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Now look, Jesus desires to have fellowship with Simon Peter. Satan desires to fellowship with Simon Peter. Jesus desires to spend time with Simon Peter. Satan desires to spend time with Simon Peter. Now, who decides who Simon Peter fellowships with? Simon Peter does. Simon Peter can humble himself, be sober, be vigilant, and cast all his care upon the Lord and fellowship with Jesus Christ, or he can walk in careless pride and find himself in fellowship with the devil. Now, when you fellowship with the Lord, he feeds you. When you fellowship with the devil, he feeds on you. Verse 32, Jesus speaking, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted," when you get turned around, "strengthen thy brethren." Now let's see if he's humble. The Lord said, "The devil's coming, and he wants you." The Lord said, "I've got to pray for you, Peter. I've got to pray for you because you've still got to get turned around. You still need to be converted." And he said unto him, verse 33, he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. I'm ready. I can do it. No need to pray for me, Lord. I'm ready. No need to watch out for the devil. I'm ready. No need to warn me, God. I'm ready. Now, isn't it good to be confident in your position in Jesus Christ? It sure is. As long as you're confident in Jesus Christ and not in yourself. Simon Peter says, Lord, look, you don't have to warn me. You don't have to pray for me. You don't have to tell me about the devil. I'm ready to die for you. I'm ready to go to prison for you. Listen, whatever comes my way, Lord, I'm ready for it. Man, if he was ready, why would God be warning him to get ready? Why would God say, get ready if he was ready? Why would God say, look out if he was looking out? Why would God say, sober up if he was sober? You better watch. Coming to church and looking around and making sure the person you think needs the message is listening, if you get to the place where you think you don't need the message, you're about to meet the devil. You're about to get shook out. And the Lord said in verse 34, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now, isn't that a hard thing to say to a disciple? One of the 12 apostles, Simon Peter, once by his own confession, God wrote it down in the book, forsook everything that he had in this world to follow Jesus Christ. That's what he thought. He'd forsaken his boat, he'd forsaken his nets, he'd forsaken his home, he had forsaken his family, but he had never forsaken his self-confidence. He'd left everything material, but he'd never left behind, and now listen, he never left behind the spiritual flesh. There's a term you probably never heard. When the flesh tries to be spiritual, it fails every time. Peter just made up his mind, I'm going to follow the Lord no matter what. And he did intend to do just that. Just like those of you here who are here this morning. You're here with your Bible on a Friday morning and you intend to follow the Lord. You've got no intention of turning your back on Jesus Christ or denying him. And Jesus said, you better be sober, you better be vigilant, you'd better be humble, and you better resist the devil. And God did not say those things to lost people who hated him. He said those things to his followers. Peter said, I'll never deny you. The Lord said, you will deny me. You will deny me because you're trusting yourself, Peter. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Not only is Peter self-confident, but like many people that love the Lord and believe the Bible, he's impressed with his superior dedication to the Lord and his superior spirituality. He actually looks around the table at the other disciples, and in his heart, he actually believes that he is more spiritual than they are. And he's more dedicated to God than they are. And as a result of that type of attitude, he's more likely to be devoured by the devil than they are. The Bible said, humble yourselves. Now, why would he say that if we are humble? Humble yourself. Who did he write that to? To born-again people. Why would God tell born-again people to humble themselves unless he knew a bunch of them were going to be stuck on themselves?
But look at what Peter says. Matthew 26, verse 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Now look, he's not just telling the Lord, Lord, you don't offend me. He's telling the Lord, I'm better than everybody else that you know. And that's exactly what he said. Everybody else, they might do that, but Lord, you should know. I'd never do that. Verse 34, Jesus said unto him, verily, that's truly, no doubt about it. You can believe this. Verily, I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Three times. Now, is Jesus Christ a liar? Does anybody here think Jesus Christ is a liar? Peter must have thought so. Peter's going to look him right in the face and basically call him a liar. Verse 35. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Jesus just said he would. How can he sit there and say he wouldn't? You don't argue with the Lord. Peter said that because he's trusting himself. He's self-confident. He doesn't need to humble himself. He doesn't need to be sober. He doesn't need to be vigilant. He doesn't need to resist the devil. He's ready. And if Jesus Christ himself said that he wasn't, he's not going to believe it. He won't believe the Lord. Now, you know something? Thank God we've got the right Bible this morning. Thank God we're in a good fellowship of people. Thank God we're trying to win people to Jesus Christ. Thank God we're supporting missionaries. Thank God we're trying to live a clean life and to stand against sin. Isn't that great? But man, if you look in that mirror and you look around this church and you say, bless God, we've got the right church, man. We're in the right church. We're the people that God can count on. You know what the Lord says to you? You better watch out. Better humble yourself. You better humble yourself. If you say, well, you know, that church in Kuwait City, they're too liberal, then the devil, he's not going to bother them, is he? All right, he's going to leave them alone. Well, that church over there, man, they don't have the right doctrine. Well, then the devil won't bother them, will he? That church down there, they're just as dead as they can be. They're not even trying to win the lost. Well, then the devil, he's going to leave them alone. You know who he wants to shake out? You know who he desires to sift as wheat? Those people who say, hey man, we got it right. In fact, we've got it more right than all the other people, and we can even prove it. We're ready to prove it. Come on. The devil's looking for you. Just like old Job. You read Job. Job said in Job 31, I don't do this, I don't do that. I haven't done this, I haven't done that. I haven't gone there, I haven't gone over there. I'm as good a man as there is on the face of this earth. And sure, he was. But he wasn't good enough to take on the devil. And this, sure, now I'm not denying it. This is a good church. It's full of good people and people who are living a good life and taking a good stand for Jesus Christ. But that, you need to understand, that does not equip you to take on the devil. You know, Satan, he tried to get to Peter earlier. Maybe you remember this. And it just wasn't time for God to let him learn this lesson. He needed to learn a lesson, but in his time, in due time. But in that instance, you remember what Jesus said to him? Jesus looked straight toward Peter, and he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Think about that. He's looking at Peter, and he says, get thee behind me, Satan. So what he's basically done is he's putting himself between Satan and Peter. Okay? And now, what he's about to do here, the Lord is about to step out of the way and allow the roaring lion and Peter to have a little fellowship. Because Peter thinks he can handle the devil without Jesus' help. He thinks because he loves the Lord and he follows the Lord and he believes on the Lord and he preaches the Lord, he can handle the devil. Not without Jesus' help. And he loves God so much, he's going to prove his love for God by whipping the devil all by himself. Now, isn't that a good motive? Isn't that a good thing to do? Thing is, you got to remember, you cannot do it. You can't do it. Matthew 26 and Luke 23. Matthew 26. Now, the Lord said, be sober, didn't he? He said, be vigilant. That means watch out. Keep a lookout. Keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open. Look at Matthew 26 and verse 36. Matthew 26, 36. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Peter, be vigilant. Peter, keep a watch. Peter, keep a vigil. Keep your eyes open. 39, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. He told them to watch. They went to sleep. And he saith unto Peter, hey, Peter, there's a roaring lion coming. Peter, the devil wants to shake you out. You better watch. He saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, Peter, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. All right, go to Luke 22. Luke chapter 22. Peter is sleeping when he's supposed to be praying. God told him to watch. He's not watching. He's napping. And when those men finally do come, look at verse 39. Luke 22, verse number 39. And he came out and went as he was wont. That means as was his custom, his normal practice, that word wont. To the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Pray that ye enter not into temptation. Verse 45. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude. So here they come to get him. So what did the Lord tell Peter to do? He told him to watch. He told him to be vigilant. He told him to humble himself. The Lord says, pray. Why didn't Peter pray? Because he didn't think he needed to. The Lord told Peter to watch. Why didn't he watch? He didn't think he needed to. He's confident. He's ready. He thinks he's ready. Luke 22, verse number 54. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. Afar off. I mean, he's way back in the crowd. Go back and look at verse 47. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Well, you know, who the Bible does tell us who this was that took up the sword and cut off this man's ear. That was Simon Peter. That was Simon Peter. I mean, Simon Peter said, I'm ready to go to prison. But when the soldiers came to take him to prison, he took out his sword. I'm ready to die with you. But when those soldiers came to take him to die, he drew out his sword. Why? Because he was not ready to go to prison. He wasn't ready to die. He was ready to defend himself. God said watch, he didn't watch. God said pray, he didn't pray. God said be vigilant, he was not vigilant. God said be sober, he wasn't sober. And so when Jesus headed off to prison, Simon Peter is way back. Why? He wasn't ready to go to prison. When Jesus is headed for crucifixion, Peter's way back. Why? He wasn't ready to die. He thought he was. He said he was. But he wasn't. So here comes the lion. Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and verse number 69. Now Peter sat without, outside. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, I have desired to sup with you. He said, Peter, I want to be with you. I want you to be with me. Well, there's Jesus. He's in prison. Peter said he's ready to go to prison with Jesus, but he wasn't. No, he's without. He's without Jesus. Jesus is in there. Peter's out there. Jesus is in prison. Peter's outside. Jesus is on the way to die. Peter's outside. Why? He was not ready. He said he was ready. He thought he was ready. He wasn't ready. Verse 69, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him. My, what big teeth she has. My, what a big mane she has. My, what big claws she has. Very cunning disguise. You would never recognize her as being a devil. You'd never recognize her as being a roaring lion. She's just a little girl. A damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Well, what if he'd have said, you're right, I sure was. He'd have gone to prison. What if he'd have said, you're absolutely right, I was with him. He would have died with him. So why did he deny him? Because he didn't resist the devil. Why didn't he resist the devil? Because he thought he could whip him in the flesh. And now he's in the flesh, and he can't even take on a little girl. Verse 71, and when he was gone out into the porch, so he's getting a little further from Jesus now, instead of running to Jesus and saying, God, you're right, I'm in trouble, I got to cast my care on you. No, he's drifting farther from the Lord all the time. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him. Whoa, big, mean maid. You know what a maid is in the Bible? It's a little girl. Here comes a little girl. She's all wrapped up. Cold night, you know, you remember. And she's got her shawl around her head. She's got her little garments wrapped around herself. And she sees Peter standing out there. If Peter would have been praying, if he would have been sober, if he'd have been vigilant when this little girl started to speak, he'd have seen those big sharp teeth. He would have looked under that veil and he'd have seen that big mane under there. But he wasn't watching. He wasn't vigilant. Another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Verse 73, and after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. It means the way you talk, it gives you away. I can tell where you're from by your accent. Verse 74, then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Three times Jesus told Simon Peter to watch and pray. Three times Simon Peter fell asleep. He was ready. And three times he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And each time the denial got more severe. Verse 75, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. And then we'll be in Galatians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 15 and Galatians chapter number 6. First Corinthians 15:1, the Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas. Who's that? Do you know who that is? Simon Peter, that's right. Then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen also of me also, as of one born out of due time. God lists in 1 Corinthians 15 all of the people to whom Jesus Christ appeared after he rose from the dead, before he ascended back to heaven. Twice he gives the listing of the disciples, the apostles. He says the 12 in verse 5. He says all the apostles in verse 7. But notice verse number 5. There is a special private appearing to Simon Peter. And you know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15? Jesus said, "If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." You are to seek to regain your brother. You know what Jesus Christ did? He rose from the dead. He said, "I've got a brother who said he didn't know me. I've got a brother that cursed and swore when my name was mentioned. I've got a brother that denied me. I think I'll go see if I can get that thing fixed up. I think I'll go see if I can convert him, if I can turn him around and regain our fellowship." Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1. Galatians 6, 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Before Peter sinned in denying the Lord, he was taken in a fault. You know what his fault was? He had a moral defect. He had a character defect. And that is, he was self-confident. For all the right reasons, and even honorable reasons. But there's a fault there. There's a fault line running through Peter. "I want to live for Jesus. I want to stand for Jesus. I want to whip that devil. I want to forsake everything." And Jesus said, "But Peter, there's a fault in you. You're self-confident. You're proud. And the devil's going to shake you out." Let me tell you something. The Bible says Peter went out and wept bitterly. Bitterly. Don't you know the 3 days and the 3 nights that Jesus Christ was in the grave? Those were long, dark hours for Peter. Jesus rose from the dead. He says, "Hey, go tell Peter I'm up." Remember that? Women, they came to the tomb. He said, "Go tell Peter I'm up. I desire to sup with him. I want a fellowship with him." And the Lord went and looked for him. And hey, listen, I thank my God this morning. I mean, I don't want to fall. I don't want to fall. But I thank God he still desires to fellowship with me if I do offend him, if I do fail him, if I do prove to be faulty in his sight. He and all his spirituality, he'll come and he'll restore me. Go to John chapter 21. You remember, Peter said, though all men would deny you, I'd never do it. He thought he was better than all men, didn't he? John 21, verse 15. Let's see if he's different here. Verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter. Now you might be thinking, you wouldn't think Jesus would even want to have dinner with somebody like that, somebody who actually denied him. Well, that's what his desire was. He wanted to sup with them because something had to be worked out. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Simon, the last time we ate together, you told me that you loved me more than anybody else. Simon, last time we ate together, you told me you were more spiritual than anybody else at that table. Simon, now that you and the devil spent a little time together, what do you think, buddy? Do you still think you're the best disciple? Do you still think you're ready to handle it? Do you still think you're closer to God than anybody else has ever been? Simon, do you love me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Period. He's dropped a few notches in his own estimation, hasn't he? He's a bit more humble than he was the last time they ate together. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time. Why? He told him to watch three times. He fell asleep three times. He denied him three times. The Lord said, Simon, I've got to ask you one more time. Don't you know when Jesus said, Simon, do you love me? He saw that damsel in his mind's eye. Don't you know when Jesus said, Simon, do you love me? He saw that maid in his mind's eye. Don't you know when he said the third time, Simon, do you love me? Don't you know he saw those men standing around saying, yeah, 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 or you're one of his, aren't you? Yeah, do you love him? He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? That's good. He's gone from being ready to being grieved. He's gone from trusting himself to hating what he sees when he looks in the mirror. Looks to me like he's been converted. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now, do you know what the old Simon Peter would have said? Hey, everybody knows I love you. Why, just ask anybody. Hey, remember, I've forsaken everything to follow you. You know what the new Simon Peter says? Lord, as long as you know it, that's what I'm concerned about. I just want you to know that I love you. I don't know what I'll do the next time somebody else comes along. I couldn't even tell that damsel that I loved you. I couldn't even tell that maid that I loved you. I had a chance in front of that crowd that night to tell them all that I loved you, and I couldn't do it. But Lord, you know I love you. Go to Acts chapter 2. Verse number 1. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. The whole world is there. Verse number 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. And he goes on, and Peter, he's down in the middle of Jerusalem with people from all over the world, and he's lifting up his voice. Jesus died for our sins, and Jesus rose from the dead, and Jesus Christ, he's the Savior of the world. I love him. He's my Savior. That's the same man. But now, what's the difference? He's trusting God. He's not trusting Peter anymore. Now he's leaning on the Holy Ghost and not Holy Peter. Now he's leaning on the power of the living God, not his desire to serve the living God. And what a difference. He's not hiding way in the back now. He's up front, and everybody knows who he loves. What a difference. Come back to 1 Peter chapter 5. I tell you, God is mighty good. Nobody else would have saved us in the first place. And I guarantee you, most people wouldn't have anything to do with us after we denied them and messed up. But here comes the Lord. He says, look, let's get that thing worked out so that you can go on. I've got a lot of work for you to do. Feed my lambs, 1. Feed my sheep, 2. Feed my sheep, 3. Let's get that thing right. I've got to use him 3 times. He used him on the day of Pentecost to preach the gospel to the Jews. Peter opened the door of the gospel to the Jews. He used him in Acts chapter 10 to open the door of the gospel to the Gentiles. And in 1 and 2 Peter, he used Peter to minister to the church. There's only 3 groups of people in the world, you know. The Jew, the Gentile, and the church of God. And Peter fed them all. Peter fed them all. He just had to get converted first. He just needed to get turned around from being Simon Peter following Jesus to Jesus Christ helping Simon Peter to follow Jesus. He had to get that thing worked out. And he did. Now I want to show you something. 1 Peter 5 and get Luke 22 and then Luke 9 will go along with this. Now I said at the start of the message that Simon Peter had a chance to go down in history as the greatest man that ever lived apart from Jesus Christ. I mean, think of all the stories that would have been told, all the sermons that would have been preached, all the books that would have been written had Simon Peter gone into that judgment hall and said, I'm also one of his disciples. And he walked out there with him and climbed up there, up Mount Calvary, and died next to his Savior, Jesus Christ. You know as well as I do that apart from the Lord, he'd have gone down in history as the greatest man that ever lived. Now look in, well, let's first, I got you to 1 Peter, but let's go to Luke 9 first. Luke chapter 9, Jesus Christ, he's on the Mount of Transfiguration here. He's revealed in the glory that he's going to have when he sets up his kingdom. Moses is there. Elijah is there. Peter is there. James and John are there. And of course, Peter is asleep in verse 32. He wakes up and he sees the Lord there in all his glory. But look at this, verse number 30. Luke 9, verse 30. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory. Now look. And spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Do you know what it was when Jesus Christ died on the cross? It wasn't death at the hands of the Romans. It wasn't crucifixion at the hands of the Jews. It was the accomplishment of our salvation. He accomplished the salvation of our souls by suffering unto death. All right, now look at 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8 once again. 1 Peter 5, 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Do you want to accomplish something for God? It may involve suffering. It may involve death. It will involve the devil, and it will involve self-denial. And you can avoid it. You can avoid all that bad stuff. Just don't humble yourself. Go ahead, be proud. Let the devil defeat you. Or you can humble yourself. Resist the devil. And yes, you may suffer. You may be afflicted, but you will accomplish bringing glory and honor to God in this earth. Luke 22. Luke chapter 22. If you do a word search for the phrase little while, you'll find that it shows up in the Bible 18 times. And almost every time that phrase shows up in the Bible, it has to do, or it's in the context with, the glorification on earth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Almost always it's his second coming, when he's manifested in his glory to the whole world. But every time but one time in all the Bible, when that phrase little while shows up, it has to do with Jesus Christ being glorified. Luke 22, verse 54. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him, and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. You see any way that that could possibly be speaking of the glory of the Lord in that little while there? The only little while in the Bible where Jesus Christ is not glorified was this little while when Simon Peter said, I'll save my neck, my own neck, rather than go in there and suffer with him. Had Simon Peter not denied the Lord, he would have gone in there, he would have suffered with Jesus Christ, and then, even in this instance, in this little while mentioned here, the Lord would have been glorified. All right, 1 Peter 5, verse number 1. Let's put this all together. 1 Peter 5, verse number 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. A ready mind. Look at verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You know what Peter said? I could have suffered a little while and brought glory to God. I missed my chance. But the Lord has established me. He's converted me. But I'm writing to you, my brethren, who are in the world, be willing to suffer a little while to bring glory to God. Be willing to suffer a little while to bring glory to Jesus Christ. Peter said, I had my chance. I missed it. You're going to have your chance. You will. Don't miss it. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be willing to accomplish affliction to bring glory to the Lord. What did he learn? Verse number 11. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Had Peter stood, he could have brought glory to God. But I believe the Holy Spirit of God has written 1 Peter 5 in such a way as to reveal Peter's faults. Listen. My soul-winning, King James Bible-believing, church-attending, missionary-supporting friends, Simon Peter was willing to forsake all and follow the Lord and serve him and preach his name and fight for him to the death as long as Simon Peter got some glory. What Simon Peter had to learn was God. God gets all the glory, or the devil gets me. So friends, let's keep the right Bible. Let's be in the right church, doing the right things, serving God in the right way, and we had better humble ourselves and not take any glory from the Lord. Because, hey, the devil smells pride 1,000 miles away, and he'll come and he'll shake you out. Be sober. Be vigilant. Accomplish suffering for the glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this lesson that we truly need. Lord, there are times we may think that we've got it all right. We may think we're more spiritual, or we have more knowledge, or we're not blinded like some of those others, Lord, but help us to remember that we're nothing without you. We only have you to thank for anything that we've received by your Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. And we help us, Lord, to just be thankful for that, to be leaning upon you, to ever hope to be able to do anything for your glory while we're in this world. And Lord, if there's anything, any pride or self-confidence that we have in us that maybe we haven't noticed, or we're just not aware of it for some reason, reveal it to us today, Lord, and help us to be converted, to turn around, turn that thing over to you, and be able to trust you fully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.